What is your name, Prabhu? Goyum? I'm Madhu Gopal Das. Do you know this song, Radha Madhava? You know it? You know what it means also? Okay, I can explain a little bit. It's a very nice song. It's in the songbook. Do we have that songbook actually? Because it's actually better if I just read from there before I... let me see if I can find it. So it's a song, Radha Madhava. They say that Madhava is... do you have another one? Because... Oh, here it is. Because Madhava, they say, is the husband of the goddess of fortune. And this song was written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the father of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's guru. Let me just read it for you. Krishna is the lover of Radha, Jai Radha Madhava. Kunja Bihari, he displays many amorous pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. Kunja means grove. Gopi Janavalabha, he is the lover of the coward maidens of Vraj. Gopi Janavalabha, Gopi is Gopi, and I don't know, Jana generally means, I'm not sure, Gopi Janavalabha, but here is translated, he's the lover of the coward maidens of Vraj. Girivaradhari, the holder of the great hill named Govardhan. Yashoda Nandana, he is the beloved son of Mother Yashoda. Braja Janaranjana, he is the delighter of the inhabitants of Vraj. Braj or Vraj, the B or the V is same in India. Sometimes they say Braj. If you go in India, they say Brindraban. Brindraban. But we generally say Vrindavan. But the V or the B, it's you know, it's a phonetic language, so it's on the sound. So sometimes it's a V, sometimes it's a B. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. He wanders in the forest, Vanachari, along the banks of the river Yamuna. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. You know, Vana means forest. It's almost the same word, Vana. And Jana, I think generally Jana means people. Like we sing, what is that? What we sing? Gorange arotik shoba jaga jana mano loba jaga jana mano loba. All the minds, the mano loba, get attracted. Jaga jana, all the minds of the universe. Jana means people, and jaga means the universe. So everybody gets attracted by this Gaura Arti. Jaga jana mano loba. Gaurange arotik shoba. This beautiful arti. So jana generally means people. Like in French, it's Jean. Jean. Gents. Gentlemen. Right? You say Jean? Where? So here, Jean, Jean is same sound. You see, you write it differently, but again, it's the sound. So probably this word Jean is from this word Jean, Jean, Jana, because the EA, generally they don't speak. We say Jana, but generally it's a Jana. So Jean, Jean, same. Gopi Janavalabha. So yeah, he is like the lover of the coward maidens. And then I'll read a little bit more. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of this song and sang it just before his lectures. In Allahabad and Gorakhpur, Srila Prabhupada fell into a trance. So he fell unconscious. After singing the first two lines, and after some time he came back into external consciousness. So the story is, what I heard from some devotees, that Prabhupada, he sort of went unconscious and I didn't know what to say. You know, but Should we chant Hare Krishna, or should we just wake him up? Or they didn't know. And then Prabhupada, he woke up and he said, now just chant Hare Krishna. So the Prabhupada said that this song is a picture of Vrindavan. Everything is there. And now listen carefully. Srimati Radharani, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Yashoda, and all the coward boys. So, four sentences, everything is there. It's an amazing song. Yeah, it's not written, but Radharani is the gopi. You see? So, and I'll give you a little bit my also understanding from all the years I've been serving. Some devotees have explained it differently. So, Jai Radha Madhava, so then we can pray till to the goddess of fortune and the husband of the goddess of fortune. Kunja Bihari, he's always, you know, in the pleasure groves of Vrindavan. Gopi Janavallabha, he is the lover of the gopis. Girivaradhari, so the idea is, what I understand also from my own realizations, that the acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur or for instance the Goswamis, they are gopis or manjaris. So if we become followers of the gopis, what they say, Mahajano yena katha sapanta, we have to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. Or as Sita Marpa says, Das, what does he say? Gopi, what? Gopi bhartu padakamalayor das and udhas and udhas. I simply want to be a follower of the gopis, right? I want to be the das and the das and the das of the servant of the gopis. But that is also what we sing with Tulsi Devi. We sing, let me be a gopi. You know this song? What is that? What we sing? E nivedana daro sakir anughata koro. Sakir means lady friend. Sakir anughata koro. Let me become a follower of the sakis. Sakir anughata koro. And then there's another sentence. What is that? E nivedana daro sakir. Seva adi koro dije koro nicha dasi. Seva adi koro dije koro. Let me become, koro means like karma, let me become a dasi, a follower of the dasi, seva. Let me serve the dasis. Anyway, so that is the aspiration of our specific line, to be a follower of the servant of the servant of the servant. And if we become like that, then girivaradhari. Krishna, he pulled up the mountain because the devotees were being attacked. So if we become a servant of the servant of the servant, Krishna will always protect us. What is that verse? Yesam tantakatam papam yaniyam punya. No, what is it? Yaniyam punya karmanam. I forgot. Let's look it up. Can you look it up? I forgot the verse. And there's an... There's another verse also, right, that if we become, we serve Krishna, the dhami buddhi yogam tam, then he will give us intelligence from within. But let me just check this verse, 7:28. So we should know these verses, huh? This should not happen. This is like, you know, when you are a lawyer, when you preach, huh? Then the pressure is on, and then you can't do it, but it looks very unprofessional. Then everybody is waiting, the judge is waiting. This is another verse, but this is also in one sense related, not so much related anyway. But the point is, if we surrender to Krishna, then he will protect us. That is the point actually of this Girivaridhari. So Gopi Janavallabha, Girivaridhari. Yashoda Nandana is the darling son of Mother Yashoda. Braja Jana Ranjana. So everybody in Braj, he loves him. And despite everybody loves him, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, he just says, Haribol, and he goes walking off to the Yamuna into the forest, and all the gopis left crying, oh, where is Krishna? Therefore Lord Bhishma Dev, he's one of the greatest brahmacharis ever, he said, Krishna is the greatest brahmachari. Because he was in the forest in the dead of night with young girls and he left them. Who can do that? All these girls completely surrendered to Krishna. They were completely 100% surrendered. And he just left them. He said, Haribol. Because I think they were becoming a little bit proud. I think the English saying is they were taking him for granted. You know this expression? Like they thought, oh, Krishna, we can... He is us, you know. And Krishna, he just left. He said, no, nobody, you know. Only bhakti. Bhakti can attract Krishna. So one devotee said in the lecture that Krishna is always making plans to curb the pride of the devotee. Curb means like in America you have, it's called the curb. It's like you have the road, you know, where the cars are, and then next to the road is the curb, where the people walk, and there's the curb. It's like this high. It's called the curb. So the curb, it's a big stone, you know, and it goes deep into the ground, and it stops these stones on the street from going on the road. Understand? So it's curbing, it's keeping it. So he wants to curb our pride. He wants to keep our pride like there, you know, not, you know. So he's always making plans. How can I make this Madhu Gopal more humble? Or not more humble, just not so puffed up. He's thinking like that. And even with the gopis, they're pure devotees, but they became a little bit proud. So he was thinking, I have to leave them. And then they became insane. It's called vipralamba, attachment in separation. And then the love became even greater. Of course, I ask this question, we also say out of sight, out of mind. So when you don't see somebody, then you don't think about them anymore. But then Bhakti Charmaraj, he said, but this is not real love. So with the gopis, when Krishna left them, they became even more in love with Krishna because they already loved him completely. So like to give another karmic example, like Romeo and Juliet, they also tried to separate them, but their love became stronger. You see, but sometimes the love is not so strong, and then to separate the persons, then it's actually good for them. Yeah. So that is actually, this song is describing all these different things. So now you know. Okay, now we'll start Bhagavad Gita as it is. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation. Text number 76. Okay, please repeat. Rajan Samsmirtya Samsmirtya Sangvadam Imam Adbutam Keshava Aryunayoho Punyam Rishami Cha Muhu Muhu Rajang Samsmirtya Sangsmirtya Sangvadami Manadbutam Keshavarjunayo Punyam Rishyami Cha Muhur Muhu Rajang Sangsmirtya Sangsmirtya Sangvadamti Mamadbutam Keshavarjuno yo punyam Rishyami cha muhu muhu Rajang sangsmirtya sangsmirtya Sangvarami manadbutam Keshavarjuna yo punyam Rishyami cha muhu muhu Rajang Sangsmirtya Sangsmirtya Sangvarami Manadbutam Keshavarjuna Yopunyam Rishyami Cha Muhu Muhu. Rajang samsmircha sangsmircha Sangvadami ramadbhutam Keshavarjunayo punyam Vishyami cha muhumu. Would you like to try? Rajang sangsmirtya sangsmirtya Sangvaram imanat bhutam Keshavarjunayo punyam Rishyami chamumu Rajan O King Sangsmirtya Remembering Sangsmirtya Remembering Sangvadam Message Imam This Adbhutam Wonderful Keshava Of Lord Krishna Arjuna And Arjuna Punyam Pious Rishami I am taking pleasure Cha Also, muhu, muhu, repeatedly. Translation. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. Purport. The understanding of Bhagavad Gita is so transcendental that anyone who becomes conversant with the topics of Arjuna and Krishna becomes righteous and he cannot forget such talks. This is the transcendental position of spiritual life. In other words, one who hears the Gita from the right source directly from Krishna attains full Krishna consciousness. The result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Swapanantikam Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupang Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radha Vrinda Vanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripiye Vanshakalapadrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ebecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Srivasadi Ghora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rajang sangsmirtya sangsmirtya, sangvadam iman adbhutam, keshavarjunayo punyang, rishyami cha muhur muhu. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure, being thrilled at every moment. So here Sanjaya is speaking to Dhritarashtra. He is the king. Arjuna actually at this time was a prince and his brother after the war would become the new king. And it was explained yesterday very nicely by Kunumai that he was the son of Vyasadev but he was blind and Arjuna was his nephew. So it was his uncle. And his son, Dhritarashtra's son, Duryodhana, he wanted to get on the throne. But it was actually illegal since Arjuna's father, King Pandu, was the real king and he died and therefore his brother took the kingdom because, what was the other brother? Yamaraj? Incarnation of Yamaraj? Vidura is the incarnation of Yamaraj. You don't know this story? I'll quickly tell the story because you should know it. There was one Brahman and He was like an impeccable Brahman. You know this word, impeccable? Impeccable means no mistake, no imperfection. He was perfect. He never made any mistakes. And then I think that when he left his body, I think he had to see hell, something like that, you know? He was brought to hell, or anyway, he became very scared. And then he came in front of Yamaraj and he said, "What is going on? I've been like a perfect Brahman. Why do I have to see hell?" He said, "In your young age, you pierced an insect. You know, like you ever did that when you were young? You killed insects. You never did that. I did that. I killed like grasshoppers. I would shoot them with my gun, and I also killed like ants. You know, like with ant poison. I went to their, but they were near my uncle's house." And I went to their nest and I put all the ant poison. It was a very mean thing to do, actually. So you get reactions for that, actually. But of course, at the same time, you're a child. I didn't know any better. I mean, my father didn't tell me I shouldn't do that. If somebody told me, I probably wouldn't have done it, you know. But children sometimes do that. So this Brahman, he went very angry with Yamaraj. He said, "This is ridiculous, you know. I was a child, I was like 7 years old, you know. I mean, you know, why I should be punished for such a thing, you know?" And he cursed him. He said, Your next birth will be as a Sudra." Something like that. So anyway, the story goes that Yamaraj ended up as Vidura. Because Vidura, officially, he's like a Sudra. Because his mother was like the maid servant. She was a Sudrani. She was like a das, a servant, a slave. So that was the half-brother of Pandu. So he wasn't qualified to be the king because he was a Sudra. So you can see actually from that, it's an interesting point. It's food for thought that in one sense we are against the current caste system, but at the same time we can see from that the caste system was there to some extent, because of course he was qualified. Vidura was very qualified to be the king, but because he was born in an impious womb, actually Krishna says that also in the 9th chapter. He says what's the word, papa yoni. One who are born from sinful wombs, something like that. Anyway, he says, you know, even sudras and women, they can come to me. So there is a distinction based on birth. But I think the main point is that the fact that you are born a Brahman doesn't qualify you blindly, you see. And this was in one sense the case with Duryodhan. He was born as a king's son, but he wasn't qualified. And on top of that, that's what I'm trying to explain, it wasn't his turn to be the king, you see. So just to finish this point about Vidura, so the birth is important to some extent. It can disqualify you, although in one sense it shouldn't. You know, maybe it would have been better if they would have put Vidura on the throne instead of Dhritarashtra. You know, maybe it was already the beginning of Kali Yuga. I don't know. And also, you might say that, I mean, of course, it's all Krishna's kind of will, because he did it. So we have Bhagavad Gita. Because if Vidura was the king, would have not been any Bhagavad Gita. You know, and this was all basically caused by Bhishma, because he took this vow. And why did he take that vow? Because his father wanted to have sex with some woman, you know. Not some woman, but, you know, it was like not... He was already married, this was his second wife, and she was disturbed. She said, "You know, if you marry me, it's okay, but my son should be the king. And if Bhishma gets his sons, then his sons will challenge my sons. So then Bhishma said, all right, I will vow never to take any children. So then the lady was satisfied and she could go with his father. This is actually how it all started. You know? So just see. You know, this sex thing, how causes all so much trouble. There was the lecture about this morning, you know, you better forget about it. It's the safe way. So anyway, so Vidura didn't become the king, and Duryodhan thought, I should be the king. But like I explained, Pandu was the king, because, well, here it gets a little bit intricate. Dhritarashtra was actually the oldest son, but because he was blind, he wasn't qualified, because you cannot have a blind king. So they understood that. So they made Pandu the king, but Pandu died. So then, you know, Vidura wasn't considered. I tried to explain that a little bit. So they said, well, then Dhritarashtra is the interim king. Like you have interim manager. You know this word, interim manager? Like when a company goes bankrupt, they put like an interim manager, and he sort of has to sort out the mess, and then another manager comes in. He's like in between manager. So he became like the interim king. In between king. Wait, you know, he was, because the Arjuna and the Duryodhan, they were like 5 years old. So they couldn't be the king. So the idea was he would be the king, or he would rule the kingdom. Yeah, basically would be the king. And he would wait till Arjuna was grown up, and then the oldest brother, Yudhishthira, would be the king. You see, because their father was the king, so they should have been the king. So this was why Krishna and Arjuna became so agitated, because the kingdom was theirs. You see, and Duryodhan, he tried to take it illegally. On top of that, he was not qualified. He was a very bad person. It's actually they say it's the incarnation of Kali, right? Duryodhan. So anyway, so that is why the war was there, because Duryodhan illegally, he pushed his father actually, also by his mother. His mother also was very pushing, you know, and Dhritarashtra was, in fact, he was a little bit weak. So by his wife and by his son, he succumbed basically. Because in the end of his life, he turned around. Not before the war, after the war, when he was completely defeated. Completely defeated. And he was like a beggar at Duryodhan's court. Duryodhan was the king, and he was so weak. He basically lost his honor as well, because if he would have had any honor, he would have left. But he didn't leave. He just stayed on, you know. And Duryodhan, I mean Yudhishthira, he allowed him, of course, because he's a gentleman. He's a Vaishnava. But then in the end, he left the kingdom with his wife, and he went to the Himalayas, and he reached, I think he reached more or less perfection. At least he became liberated, you know. I don't know exactly, but he started to meditate, and he definitely turned around. He saw that he was wrong. So Dhritarashtra was a little bit weak-hearted. The bad person was really Duryodhan. He was really pushing, and he was pushing his mother, and his mother was pushing Dhritarashtra. That's how I understood it. Anyway. Yeah, so that is just, I'm just setting the scene. So this is Sanjay, he's speaking to Dhritarashtra. This is also, because I'm also a little bit preparing you, because we're basically starting again, right? We're not going to do Nectar of Devotion, right? We're just starting. So that is also preparing a little bit for the first chapter, because that will be all, these things will be all explained in the first chapter. The purport. The understanding of Bhagavad Gita is so transcendental that anyone who becomes conversant with the topics of Arjuna and Krishna becomes righteous, and he cannot forget such talks. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Dhritarashtra got purified by this discussion. Although, after the discussion, he couldn't relent. He knew it was wrong, but he was so attached. Again, because we were talking about it this morning, this family attachment is so strong. Like, I can also speak from my own, you know, like I was, it's not really family attachment, but I think it's indirectly related. I was like smoking and drinking, and I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know what else to do, so I just kept going. So family attachment is similar like that, that you know it's wrong, but you don't know anything else, so you just, and then Prabhupada explained in the purport, and then you get born again and again and again. Because we're so attached to this family, and it's almost impossible to give it up. The attachment is so strong, shouldn't underestimate it, you know. You can also not falsely, that also sometimes happened, that devotees falsely renounce their family. And then sometimes they left the movement because it is unbalanced. The attachment to the father, like my father just died, and now I more and more realized how much attached I was and still am to my father. You know, of course, Krishna forced me to let go because he left his body. So it's in one sense, it's, devotee, he is very spiritual, you know. Like the karma is the father dies and everybody cries. But the devotee also cries. But he also thinks this is actually Krishna's mercy. The devotee, he sees the spiritual side about it because it makes us detached. So I'm just trying to explain that we should also realize the attachment, and then we can give it up. So the attachment should not be underestimated, because if you falsely do it, then you just might snap, and then you just might leave. You think these Hare Krishnas, they're too fanatical. You know, so it should be balanced. But it's dangerous, because I also went with my family to France, and you get entangled. You know, people were eating meat, and I, of course I wasn't eating meat, but it's very bad association, you know. So you have to also be careful, you know. I mean, I'm chanting for 15 years, so I felt a little bit confident, but now I'm a little bit getting the reactions I feel now that I came back. You get like, know, so many weird thoughts and things like that, because you associate with these karmis, and they're only interested in sex life and family life, and you get infected. So yeah, it's very strong attachment. And so Dhritarashtra, although he, at the end he became purified, but even after hearing this whole Gita, he still couldn't do it. He knew it was wrong, but still he went on. Because he was the king. Eh? If Dhritarashtra would have said no, then Duryodhana, he would have been in big trouble. He probably could not have made the war. So, but you know, his father was supporting him. So, okay. But I'm just saying, he probably got purified. Because sometimes it's like a poison. It you take it, and then it takes some time before it to act. So Krishna consciousness is like that. It's a very, very heavy poison. You cannot get rid of it. Once people take Charanamrita, then material life is basically finished. Actually, I did that when I was in France. Not all of them. Some of them already left, so I missed them because I didn't want to. I wanted to do it like secretly. But I brought like not really Charanamrita, but like the Diti water, and I mix it with like 1,008 holy rivers, and I put it in the water, you know, and they drink the water on the table. Like in France, they always drink water, right? So I secretly put it there, and they all drank the water. So I'm very happy, you know, all of them, you know. Back to Godhead, Prabhupada would say. Anyway, let me try and finish this. This is the transcendental position of spiritual life. So that's how powerful it is. That anybody who hears it, he becomes righteous and he cannot forget such talks. So Dhritarashtra probably remembered at the end of his life. In other words, one who hears the Gita from the right source, directly from Krishna, attains full Krishna consciousness. So directly from Krishna, that is basically what we're doing here. And or Krishna's representative. So the purports are very important, because Prabhupada is explaining it in the right way. The result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened, and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment. Prabhupada is such a poet. I'll just read it again, then I'll stop. The result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened, and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Any questions? I don't know. I mean, you get born like any animal, right? They love their children. Prabhupada says the love of the mother, it's practically unconditional. So that bond is very strong. And they say actually the bond with the brothers, I don't know if you have any brothers or sisters. Yeah? No? Okay, but I have one brother, and that bond is even more strong because you've been in the same womb. You understand? So the blood bond is more strong. Even more strong than with the father. You have brothers? Also, only child. Okay. You have brothers, right? Huh? Half brothers. But there's a half brother. It's half brother, no? You never saw him. Right. But don't underestimate that. Half brother it can also be. You know, but you know, maybe it's good. Maybe it's good. Anyway, yeah, the attachment is just from the growing up, I think. You know? So from the baby like that. You become more and more attached. But it's a good question. You know. Anyway, we should stop here. So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Sri Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.